Has it ever happened to you that you happen to glance at someone and look them in the eye, whether it be a family member, a friend, or a total stranger, and their immediate response to you is, "What?" It's like, I have no idea what I just did, right? I was just glancing around with my eyes like normal, and it just so happened that at that time we met. And we might wonder what's going on. Usually, the case is they are dealing with some kind of irritation, some kind of thing that has frustrated them, and you just happen to be there and receive the brunt of the anger. They see red, wanting to pick a fight, and not interested in talking or thinking things through. Then they make something out of nothing, reading something there that wasn't there at all. A statement was made this past week that caught the attention of the news, which reflects said phenomena. Some of you may be familiar with this, as someone had called for the destruction of the statues of the white European they claim is Jesus because it's a form of white supremacy. And then he further states, it always has been. Huh? What? Where are you coming up with this? You know, I remember when I was in the Holy Land in Nazareth, you know, there was a Church of the Annunciation. And while the high point of that visit was to see the place where our Blessed Virgin Mother Mary was born, in the upper church around the walls, there were various depictions of the Virgin Mary from countries throughout the world. And of course, that wasn't my first time seeing different ways that cultures would display either Mary or even of Jesus, but that was an ever-present reminder to all of us that indeed we are what we profess, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Even in Marian apparitions, she would appear in such a way as to present that beautiful reality. We have Our Lady of Guadalupe, for example, from Mexico, Our Lady of Cabejo in Rwanda, Our Lady of Akita in Japan, Our Lady of Lourdes in France, Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. And growing up, when I saw these depictions, one of my first thought was, it's different. Because it was. But also one of admiration. How beautiful it is that these cultures are able to demonstrate our faith in this way. Even as I was talking recently with someone from the parish leadership team, we never grew up in the sense that when we were looking at these different depictions of our Blessed Mother Mary or Jesus, did we ever thought that it was not a depiction of Jesus or Mary? Just thought, that's kind of neat. This harkens back to what St. Paul encourages us in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free person. There is not male and female. But you are all one in Christ Jesus. Demonstrating that beautiful reality that while we do have our differences, we are equal. From Romans 6 today, St. Paul says that we were buried with Jesus in baptism so that we might live in newness of life and encourages us to think of ourselves as dead to sin and living for Christ Jesus. Our time would be better spent coming to know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, actively working toward that relationship with Him, getting past the idea that God is, because He's so much, that He's so infinitely more than I am, that I dare not bother come to understand Him. But the reality is, with all that he's given us, through the Holy Scriptures, through the church, he has given us that intimate access by which we can come to know him. We can't come and fully grasp everything that there is to know about God, but certainly the very fundamental principles that go into understanding that God is love is understandable. And as people find themselves forsaking the true God, the God of Abraham, Moses, and Elijah, as they seek to either reject him, ignore him, or say, well, I'm comfortable in crafting my own image of who I think God ought to be. It is there that people have lost their very identity and are grasping for things that are not of God. This loss of one's true identity contributes to many paths of frustration, because those paths that lead us away from God will never fully satisfy. In growing deeper in our relationship with God, we then become more capable of understanding our own identity. We who have been crafted in the very image and likeness of God. And that's why it is to our benefit that we grow in that love and knowledge of He who has created us. All of us should be preparing well by utilizing the time that we have to do that which is good, to build forth the kingdom of God. When you and I were baptized, we were baptized on mission. We were sent on mission. We were sent to do great and wonderful things. The rite of baptism is a way in which we know that as we find ourselves sharing in the inheritance of Jesus Christ, it is an opportunity for us to then be the beacons of light that share the power of the Holy Spirit into the world, and where we are no longer cowards, but move in courage and bravery out of love for our God, who died for us, who, even though we were still enemies, died for us. So how do we effectively respond? With all of the craziness, the things that are happening around the world, what is incumbent upon us now? One thing is to take up public space. What do we have in our front yards? Let's just start at the home. When people drive by our houses, do they know that that house belongs to a believer, a disciple of Jesus, a Catholic, a Christian? Or does it just simply display our particular love for a team? Or maybe that we have a knack for gardening, which is not bad. But then where is our faith? Even in our homes, as people come and we entertain them, what is around our walls? Is there anything that speaks of our faith? Where's the crucifix? Where's the statues, the icons? You know, all of these things, they not only serve as a way to identify what we believe in, but it demonstrates our hope. And because these things have been, hopefully, blessed by a deacon or by a priest, they are sacramentals that confect grace, channels by which we can find ourselves encouraged to continually run the race well. We look upon the crucified Lord, what happens? We're given that encouragement to love passionately, to love with abandon, to not count the cost. When we see a statue of St. Padre Pio, we are reminded to pray, hope, don't worry, casting our cares upon God because He cares for us. We look at an icon of Our Lady, the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe here, or Our Mother of Perpetual Help, and we are reminded of how powerful her singular yes was in the plan of the Father, and how much we sometimes place little value on our own yes when God is asking us of something, not understanding the magnitude that can be present when we say yes to what the Father is asking of us. These sacramentals are meant to encourage us, to bolster us, and then having people see that on our lawns as well serves as a way of encouragement. I find myself, whenever I'm driving and I see someone there with the statue of Our Lady or St. Francis, two most popular things out there, I offer a blessing for the house as I drive by. I make sure they get a blessing, because I know they are trying to publicly display their faith. And we are all on the same team. And the sooner we act on that, the better it is for all of us. The better it is for the kingdom of God to grow in such a way that grace will never cease to abound, where grace will always be plentiful, where we can encourage one another, as I've said before, to run the race well. If you own a business, utilize more of that space, that real estate that you have. Sometimes you go into businesses, you go into restaurants, they're professing what they believe, they got it on their walls, they got it on the counter as you check out. Why not us? Why don't we have something? If we believe that God has sent His only Son, Jesus, to redeem us, to save us, that only He is the path of salvation, if He is the way, the truth, and the life in which souls come to heaven, the only way that souls get to heaven, then where is our love? Where is our fire? Why is it dead? Why has it faded? Is it because we are just so concerned about not offending anyone? Or do we find ourselves even ashamed in professing our belief? Is it because we're wondering what kind of follow-up questions that might come if I say I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a follower of Jesus? Mark 8:38, Jesus said, "For he that shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also will be ashamed of him when he shall come in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Another thing we can do is to stand up against those who are looking to desecrate and harm things that we hold sacred. It's not about the protection of private property. It's about protecting those things that we hold dear. All of us have some photograph in our wallets, in our purses, of family members, friends whom we love and cherish. Imagine someone getting into that and ripping it in front of you. Would we say, "Well, that was just a picture of my grandmother. I'm not going to do anything to fight back. I mean, it's not bad. It wasn't an actual attack on my grandmother." No! We would say something. We would do something, wouldn't we? And why not about those things in which we say matters to us? The beautiful stations that we have, the depictions of the life of Jesus, all had served the way by which we get to know our faith. We can't be trampled. Not like this. We have to rise up. We have to resist. For they speak about our faith in Jesus. And of course, in all things, we pray the Holy Rosary, and we give ourselves to God fully in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We pray for conversion, first for our own hearts, that we may develop a true hatred for all sin, then we intercede for others, for our community, our nation, and our world. It's just a lot of incoherent madness that is taking place in the world. People seething with anger, seeing things that aren't there. And this is why we come back again and again to church, to our faith. Our first communicants today, as I said before, are receiving Jesus for the first time in Holy Communion. It's amazing that here, out of all the things God can give us, in giving us Holy Communion, Jesus says this isn't just something to remind you of me. This isn't something by which is a symbol. It's actually him. We close our eyes. We imagine how the apostles received Jesus in the upper room, how he talked with them, fished with them, performed miracles with them. That's the same Jesus. That's exactly who is present in the Holy Eucharist, only under the appearance of bread and wine. You see, he equips us again and again for this spiritual battle that you and I have been born into. It is with his grace and by our prayer that we soldier on by the power of the Holy Spirit, no longer living in fear, no longer backpedaling, but allowing truly the words of Jesus to take root in our hearts. From John 16:33, in the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world. It is in this faith in God that we are called to go forth, so that others too may see the beautiful truth of the God who loves us.